When James Cook and the Endeavour passed my country on the far north coast of New South Wales, the botanist Joseph Banks made a fascinating observation as he spied the people on the shore around Cape Byron. He said the people on the shore were in all appearance unmoved by the neighbourhood of so remarkable an object as a ship. Those words were echoing in my mind when I saw In Pursuit of Venus Infected, the panoramic live-action work of the Māori artist, Lisa Rehana. Now, In Pursuit is screening at the Campbelltown Arts Centre as part of a big survey of Lisa's work called Cinemania. It's the work that Lisa took to the Venice Biennale last year, the big international contemporary art fair, where she represented New Zealand. Tracy Moffat, an old colleague, represented Australia. Lisa Rehana has recreated a decorative French wallpaper that's straight out of the Enlightenment, an Arcadian scene that would have decorated the salons of generals and princes of the Napoleonic age. The original work, made circa 1804, is called Les Sauvages de la Mer Pacifique, the noble savages, if you like, of the Pacific Ocean. But Lisa Rehana has imagined things quite differently. Instead of bystanders, decorative, exotic motifs, the indigenous peoples of the South Pacific observe their ceremonies. They dance, they go about their lives, they interact with each other. They witness the scene of Cook's journey to map the transit of Venus. It's a post-colonial reply to the myth of discovery.
I hail from the far north of the North Island. I'm Ngāpuhi on my father's side. Ngā Tuki Matawhāroa is our waka. Pukirata is my marae. Otoa is our awa. And on my mother's side, I have English, Welsh and Jewish ancestry. So I like to call myself a bitsa, bits of this and bits of that.
It always amazes me how Māori can recite, you know, their whakapapa, who they come from, their iwi, or their genealogies almost. That's an extraordinary gift that your culture has.
It's a lovely gift. I think because we have the Māori culture, there is one within Aotearoa New Zealand, so that makes it much easier for it to be a kind of a cohesive thing. It's also quite formalised in that sense. So there is actually a plaque, you know, it's really great. There's a structure from which you, as an individual, when you're ready, can start to navigate your way through that genealogy. So it's nice in that way. You're always following in somebody else's footsteps, which means you're never alone.
It's an extraordinary exhibition. You are literally just returned from Venice, where you represented New Zealand Aotearoa at the Venice Biennale. And there was a very strong opinion among many critics that yours was the best work to be seen in Venice. Did you hear that?
Yeah, it's strong praise indeed, and makes me feel really good because it's a work that I've worked on it for a very long time, so it's actually imbued with all that kind of research, and you know, whereas some other artists, they may make a whole new body of work and they may only have, you know, 9 months to create something new. So when I pitched it as a potential project to represent Venice, I felt like, you know, I felt very strong that I had something that was very strong and had a lot to say, and that it represented a lot of people. And I also would like to say it was fantastic to be there in 2017 when Tracy Moffat represented Australia. It just felt fantastic moment from this part of the world to show that there's two Indigenous women representing these countries at this time. So I was very, very happy because I met Tracy back in, when I first came to Australia in 1988. So it's a work that to me feels like it's fulfilled a whole series of thinking and thought patterns and philosophy and stuff that it still needs working on. You know, still there's issues with racism and the impact of colonization. By no means, we are still in feeling that impact. But I feel like there's a maturity that's happened and over that period of time. That's really nice and cohesive in a way to sort of have stop and take stock of, you know, what's some of these things I've looked at, because they're about representation. And I think, gender fluidity, women, men, I don't know, all those things. I think anything that stems from racism and then it goes into sexism and all the isms will follow after that. So we can start to break down wherever it is that you think that, you know, as an artist and different people are doing it, well, if you can start to break that down, it impacts right across, you know, it seeps out.
That work, The Pursuit of Venus Infected, is, you know, begins, I guess, at least literally as a wallpaper designed by a French artist in the neoclassical period. We're talking the early Napoleonic period.
Yes. Yeah.
Beautiful wallpaper, and the original, I think, there are copies certainly held by the State Library of New South Wales. It's incredibly beautiful. It's a tableau. It's Grecian. It's classical. But there's a problem with it.
Well,
there are many problems with it.
Where to start? Well, the original wallpaper didn't have any of the historic figures such as Captain Cook. Well, actually, Captain Cook is in it, but he's very tiny, and it's the rupture in the wallpaper that, for me, made it the very interesting part to sort of start to unpick it. And I thought it was much more interesting to bring, Joseph Banks, the crew members, the Marines who are like the constabulary, and then start to look at these first moments of contact and impact, and to kind of complicate it. Because yes, there are all those terrible stories we know, but also humans have always loved to travel. We love to see difference. We love to see otherness as well. And so I wanted to bring some of those stories out. Captain Cook's death was I knew I had to show it because of that happened in Hawaii. But then it gave me an opportunity to start to learn about karanga, which is the woman's welcome voice, which is using tangi. I wanted to start to look at, to also show Pacific mourning practices so that we can look at the notion of death from multiple perspectives. There's a scene towards the end of the work where Captain Cook, who was dismembered, he was cut into about quite a number of pieces, about 17 pieces, and they were distributed around the islands. And one chief got his hat and his thigh and returned it to the crew members, who thought it was horrific. But from his perception, it was honorific because he was bringing back the most valued parts of the body. And I wanted to, and particularly to showing it in such a place like Venice, where there's all these churches and they have relics, like there might be Sister Maria's little finger in a box hidden away in the back, you know, and people put their arms up and they called us cannibals and all these different things. But in fact, you know, these things were practiced all around the world. And we have to be quite careful when we start to remember about history that we, you know, keep looking broadly, because often you can start to break down some of those stereotypes of what you think is actually going on. It's more complex, and I wanted to show a much more complex version and thinking around Cook, even for myself. I did come to admire him. One of the reasons colonization came was as a result of him being so good at drawing maps, you know, and you'd never not want to do your best at something, so there's always a consequence. So it's funny how things come, you know, time plays in and out in this particular way.
Okay.
Whatever we think of him, he was an extraordinary maker of maps. He was an extraordinary man at sea. What I'm interested in is in the original, in the wallpaper, the French wallpaper, you have this idyll. It's all beautiful. There's all varieties of skin colours, which interests me greatly. These are not anatomically, morphologically indigenous people from the South Pacific. But there is a moment in that particular wallpaper of conflict, of contact, of the brute fact of history. Does that have echoes in your work in The Pursuit of Venus?
Yeah, I think that was, for me, it was the place that gave me permission to go about making the work, because within the wallpaper itself, it's very much pushed into the background, but it's Captain Cook being killed on the shores of Hawaii. But actually, in the foreground, there's a Maori chief looking in. And I think it was something Rana Devonport, the curator I was working with, she said, "Oh, Lisa, that's you. You're the Maori looking in and back across time at this particular rupture in the wallpaper. And that's how I see this thing." And I wanted to push that forward. Also, a lot of the darker skinned races were really, really pushed to the back of the wallpaper. And that's why it was just wonderful to come and work with Campbelltown and have them help me navigate that cultural space of working with the Dharawal people here. And it's also why, after Venice, this is the first, you know, to bring the work back to Australia, but to bring it back to Campbelltown, this is its first screening. And that was really important to me. From a Maori perspective, it's the right thing to do. And I'm really looking forward to showing it, because I know that some of the people I work with are coming tonight, including a group of Aboriginal women. They were very shy and really beautiful, but I spent some time with them and I said, if you're not in the work, then it's another absence, and we can't keep having these absences. You don't have to act, you don't have to do anything, you can just weave, because then that's then what that shows is that it's culture in motion. It's, you know, culture is alive, and that's all you need to do. And it's a very quiet scene in the work, but I'm really super proud of that. I was really lucky too, because Ethel Ann Gundy ended up working in it as well. And I remember her, I saw her when she was in Barbecue Area, which is one of those hilarious early short films that came onto my radar when I first was here in Australia back in 1988 as well. So, you know, we've got some stars showing in the work, and it's spectacular.
For me, the Pursuit of Venus is the reason the Pursuit of Venus Infected, I should say, is the reason I'm here. Because it's the work that went to Venice, and it's so extraordinarily beautiful. And also, though, I mean, what you have done is something quite rare, and that is you've sought to represent not just Maori culture, but Pacific culture. And talk about this face-to-face, this kind of ethical practice of engaging with Indigenous groups other than your own.
So we say kanohi ki te kanohi, face to face. It's the best way to work out problems. It's the best way to front up. I also had another terminology I came with, which was agreed representation. So I thought the wallpaper was really great, because it provided a platform from which I could invite people in to partake in the work. I knew it was a very colonial document, so it's, you know, really, I was trying to work out strategies to make it, you know, to work ethically with it as well. So I would write series of scripts and things and come up with, you know, have a handful of ideas. But sometimes, for instance, I'd be working with dance groups, and I didn't want to cut across their IP and their dancers. So we would have a choreographer in hand, and sometimes we'd devise something really quickly to record. So I wasn't taking anything away from them, and then we had something very specific for the work. And with regard to the work here at Campbelltown, I worked with Auntie Glenda, and we agreed to a number of stories that she felt would be okay for me to pitch to the various performers and talent that I was, or cast I was working with. But when they came in and Kumari came in and we sort of briefed them on what was happening, and they said, no, actually we want to do like a welcome to country. So there is a welcome to country in the work. So it's that thing of allowing people that space, but also I think that trust, you know, that trust that you can bring. You know, it's kind of scary because sometimes I never knew what was going to happen. And I've been pulling all these people together at one point in time to create these works. But I think there's nothing better than feeling that somebody believes and trusts that you will do what you need to do. And from my perspective, it's we are embodiments of our ancestors' DNA, and we are the possibility of the future. And so we work with what we have now. Even though it's talking about history, it is about now as well, because these people are off now, and they bought little things in, and we talked about, and we shared information, and they all become imbued in the resonance and the energy of the work. All those things that you don't know, that I know, it sort of happened, are part of the feeling that remains with the work.